the more you're in the presence of God, then the more of His presence you will crave. The more you experience God, then the more you want to be with God.
Today, Jeremy Pearsons and his special guest Jerry Savelle help each of us understand what it means to draw near to God and experience more of His goodness and His presence. Next, on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Jeremy Pearsons. Glad to be filling in for my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Thank you so much for allowing us to come into your home or your office or wherever it is you're watching these broadcasts. I talked to a friend yesterday who told me he was watching the broadcast on his cell phone while he was on the treadmill. So whatever you got to do to get these broadcasts in your life, in your eyes, in your ears, in your heart, do it. We have made many resources available for you. So however you got to do that, do it. And we are thrilled once again to be joined at the table today by Dr. Jerry Savelle. Thank you, sir, once again for being
here.
Thank you,
Jeremy.
We've had some outstanding time so far. Mm-hmm. And if you've missed anything at all, I encourage our viewing audience to go back, get online, get these broadcasts and get caught up with us, because we are talking about your new book, Called to Battle, Destined to Win.
And I like the sound of that. Don't you?
Yeah, that Best sounds like win. A Jerry Savelle title to me, you know? You can't separate those statements.
No.
Those are two unique individual statements, but they go together. Mm. Yes, we are called to battle, but if you stop right there and you think you're just alone in this thing to fight it out, yeah, man, you got some hard days ahead. But when you realize you're called to battle and the strength of Almighty God is in you, then you see that you are destined to win.
And knowing that you're destined to win enables you to endure, persevere.
Absolutely.
Stand as long as it takes.
Yeah.
You know, that's motivating to me when I know that the Bible has already decreed that I am destined to win. Mm-hmm. Then your attitude becomes, I can take anything Satan can dish out, because God's word's already declared I'm a winner. That's doing what the Bible says and allowing that winner to come to the surface.
Yeah.
You know, and that winner will never come to the surface. That champion will never come to the surface if you're always looking over your shoulder for an excuse to give up.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully what we can instill in the viewing audience during these lessons is, don't quit.
Yeah.
You know, don't quit. It's a major, major thing when you finally decide one day. I know when that decision happened in me.
Yeah.
But when you finally decide one day that I am not a quitter anymore.
There is no anointing to quit.
No.
There's no gifting.
No.
There's no grace from God to quit.
I can't find anywhere in this Bible where God blesses quitters.
There is, on the other hand, strength from God Almighty to see you through what seems like impossible situations, what seems like unending circumstances. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, because it's easy to recognize that we're in a fight.
Yeah.
That's easy. We're in a fight. I believe people are individually. They are in their finances. They are in their families. They are at work. Not only that, but we as the body of Christ, living in the world that we live in now, and then you take the world as a whole. I mean, everywhere you look, there's something to be faced.
Mm-hmm.
What do we do? This is something you address in the book, but I want you to minister this to us today. What do we do when we step up to situations that seem like they just won't go away, and we've been in it for what feels like day after day after day, because there is a way to persevere. That's one of the things you've talked about. There is a way to wait.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us today about some things that we can do, that we just apply ourselves to see ourselves through that waiting and on into that victory.
Okay. First of all, let's read from Hebrews 10.
Okay.
Verse 35 says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward.
Mm-hmm.
The Amplified Bible says, do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence, for it carries a great and glorious compensation of reward. Mm-hmm. So Obviously, the writer of the book of Hebrews understands that there are times when you're going through a battle that it can look as though defeat is inevitable, that victory is nowhere in sight, that this thing is getting worse, and people tend to want to give up. So the Bible understands those tendencies that we have from time to time to give up. It's not saying that if you ever had the thought of giving up, then God can't use you at all. The Bible is full of people who thought about giving up. You know, it's full of people who didn't think they had what it took. Moses didn't think he had what it took. You know, he constantly asked God, well, who am I?
Yeah.
You know, and finally God got him to stop looking at who he was and start looking at who God was, mm-hmm. you know. And that's the same thing you have to do, is you have to realize that in yourself, you're no match for the devil. You know, he'll beat you every time. If you try to persevere and endure in your own might, your own strength, your own resources, your own ability, you're just not going to be able to do it. But who said we had to do it in our might?
Yeah.
I'm talking about in Christ. And so here the author of the book of Hebrews says that when we are going through situations that look as though they will never change, they're impossible, there's no way out, then the first thing he says is, do not cast away your confidence. Confidence is just another word for faith. Do not cast away your faith. I just simply interpret that as don't quit. Mm-hmm. Just simply don't quit. Why? Because there's no reward for quitting, but there is a great reward for continuing in faith yeah. and standing and persevering. Now, the question is, what do you do while you're waiting? I like to call it that time frame between amen and there it is.
Yeah.
It's what you do between the time you prayed and said amen, and there you are beginning your walk of faith. Now, what do you do between the amen and the manifestation? That there it is. I discovered many years ago that during that time, of course, this is the most critical part, because if you don't do what the Bible says between amen and there it is, it's not likely you'll have a there it is.
Yeah.
You won't see the manifestation. So having experienced that many, many times in 40 years, and going back to when I first began to do what was necessary between the amen and there it is, here's some things I learned, and I hope they'll be as helpful to the viewing audience as they have been to me. I call them just seven basic decisions that Jerry Savelle had to make while he was waiting for the there it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just read them out, and I'll expound upon them as the Spirit of God leads. But
okay.
Number one, you've got to get into God's presence. When you're standing on God's Word and believing for the manifestation, whether it be a financial miracle, a miracle in your marriage, a miracle in your body, whatever it is, family restoration, whatever it is you're believing God for, and it looks like it's not happening, then the number one decision that I say you must make is you must get into God's presence.
Mm-hmm.
In God's presence, there's fullness of joy.
Okay.
In the presence of God, the Bible tells us that our adversary is stopped and stilled.
Mm-hmm.
Satan cannot handle the presence of God. He has no defense for the presence of God. Now you say, well, how do I get in the presence of God? Well, the Bible says that we can enter into His presence through praise and thanksgiving. You know, I like to start my day with thanksgiving. Yeah, but how can I thank God when everything around me is falling apart? Well, the Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I mean, everything else may be falling apart, but if you still got breath, then you got something to thank God for.
Sure.
So that may be your only starting point,
mm-hmm.
is get up that morning and just start your day with, Lord, this is the day that you have made.
Yeah.
I rejoice and I'm glad in it. Now, you may be facing the most impossible looking situation you've ever faced in your life. But if you make the decision that I'm going to get into the presence of God, the Bible says in Acts chapter 3 that in His presence there is a refreshing that comes, a refreshing that comes from the presence of the Lord. So one of the ways that I do that, and once again, it's going to take some determination, it's going to take some discipline on your part,
mm-hmm.
is to say, all right, I am not going to allow myself to get out here in this arena where Satan is controlling the circumstances, he's controlling the atmosphere. What arena is that? Worry, fear, discouragement, depression. If you stay out in that arena, Satan is going to beat your brains out. But if you make the decision, I'm going to get into the presence of God. I do that by starting my day with, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. See, that's an act of His will. That is a decision. That is an act of His own volition where He is saying, you know, I got a lot of things going on in my head right now. There's a battle going on between my ears, but I will praise God. I will give Him thanks. As you do that, then you're going to find that God will meet you there. You draw nigh unto God and He will draw nigh unto you. He's just asking you to take the first step. And if you will just simply praise God, regardless of what you're going through, well, what have I got to praise God about? I got breath. There's a starting point. You know, I woke up again. There's a guy in my church, Jeremy, that he's an elderly guy, and I've known him for many, many years, probably 30 years or more. And every Sunday, if I'm home, if I'm in town and I'm preaching at the church there, when I see him, I'll say, I'll call him by his name. I say, how you doing? He said, well, I woke up again. You know, that's his answer. I woke up again, so I got something to praise God about, you know. Well, you woke up again, you know. You got breath in your lungs. There's a starting point. You may not can think of anything else that's going good for you, but at least you woke up again and you got breath in your lungs, so start right there. Then I would suggest you do like David did so often, where there were times when he might be having a bad day. You know, many of the Psalms, David starts them out with, man, you know, where are you, God? This is a bad time. Where are you? Don't forsake me now. You know, don't leave me now. But before that psalm is over with, David starts reminding himself of what God's done in his life in the past. So you can thank God that you woke up again. You can thank God you got breath in your lungs. And you can recall previous blessings, recall previous victories. Remind yourself of those. And as you do, you cannot help but begin to sense the joy of the Lord rising up in your heart. You'll begin to sense the peace of God. All of a sudden, what you were worried about, you're not so worried about anymore. Your attitude becomes, okay, God met me when I was facing that impossibility. God got me through when I was in that situation. And your attitude becomes, well, why wouldn't He do it again? He's done it before. He can do it again. Now, as you begin to do that, you're going to begin to sense the presence of God. And in His presence, there is fullness of joy.
Which is the answer to what Jesus said in where we've been looking in John chapter 16. You know, here comes tribulation, but be of good cheer.
Yeah.
In the presence of God is the fullness of joy. There's your joy in the midst of a trial, right?
That's right.
I mean, that's where you find, that's how you do what He said to do. Be of good cheer. How do I do that? Get in the presence of God. What's there? Joy.
Joy.
Yeah.
Peace.
Yeah.
Power. Anointing.
Yeah.
I mean, everything that you need to overcome this adversity is in the presence of God. Moses was so keenly aware of how powerful the presence of God was that he said, if you do not intend to allow me to experience your presence, then I am not going. I need your presence. And the presence of God is available to us. But there's something that you and I do to get in the presence of God. Now, we talked about praise and thanksgiving. We talked about reminding ourselves of previous blessings and previous victories. Another thing that I do that always brings me into the presence of God is pray in the Holy Ghost. You know? Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Holy Ghost. As you spend time praying in the Holy Ghost, you're going to sense the presence of God come into your life.
That's good.
Amen. So I would strongly suggest that if you're going through a battle right now and it looks like that nothing's happening and you've gotten discouraged and you're at the point where you're feeling like, I don't know if I can stand anymore, then let me encourage you right now. You might want to write this down. Decision number one, get into the presence of God. Another thing that can do that, you know, Jeremy, I do this everywhere I go. When I go to do a meeting somewhere, When I check into that hotel, the first thing I unpack is my iPod, you know, my CD player, whatever it is that I got, you know, Christian music and inspirational, motivational, faith-building tapes. Before I unpack my clothes, I unpack that. And I start charging the atmosphere in that room with the praise of God. You know, when I get up in the morning, I mean, there where I get ready to shave and shower and get ready to start my day, I turn on faith-building music. I love the Hillsong music, you know, and I carry that entire Hillsong orchestra, band, singers, and all of them. I tell them every time I'm in Australia at Hillsong, I say, I carry every one of you people in my pocket, you know, and you go everywhere with me. And you just cannot stay depressed if you are charging the atmosphere around you with good Christian music, faith-building tapes, you know. If you're on your way to work and your mind is telling you you're going to lose everything, you're not going to win, you're going to fail, it's all over, the end is near. Instead of turning on that rock and roll station or that country western station.
Or the news.
Or the news, you know, CNN, whatever. Instead of turning all that on, turn on a tape. You know, that 1 hour drive to work. Man, that's 1 hour of Kenneth Copeland.
There it is.
That's 1 hour of Charles Capps. You know, that's 1 hour that I could be building up my faith, energizing myself, getting in the presence of God. I have yet to not experience the presence of God if I'm listening to good inspirational music, good motivational faith-building tapes. It just brings me into the presence of God. So that's one of the things that you have to decide to do. Now, obviously what the devil wants you to do is when it looks like nothing's working is run from God instead of run to God. You know, get depressed, find people that'll get depressed with you, you know, have yourself a pity party and do all those things that certainly are not going to help the situation. They're going to make it worse. So decision number one, get into the presence of God. Whatever you have to do, get into the presence of God. And don't tell me you don't have time. God created every day with 24 hours. He's God. He's smarter than you. And apparently, just assume that in 24 hours,
we'd find some time. Or make some time.
Make some time to get into his presence. The second decision is crave God more. Crave God more. How do you do that? Well, how do you crave anything more? How do you develop a hunger for anything? I mean, you know, one of the things is if you ever experience the presence of God one time, you're going to want more of it. I think it's Smith Wigglesworth said that he'd rather have 5 minutes in the presence of God and under the anointing of God than all the gold and silver in the world. You won't understand that statement if you've never been in the presence of God.
And you can't crave what you haven't had before.
That's right. And so if you've been in the presence of God and you understand what it's like, then decision number two, crave it more. And that simply means give more time, you know, to experience more of God. You have to sow a seed. You have to sow more time with God. And the more time you sow to God, then the more craving you will have for God. The greater your hunger will be for God. You know, you get to the place where you can't get enough. That's what happened to me 40 years ago. I couldn't get enough. Now, these things all sounded foreign and strange to me. Back then, you know, when I'd hear people talk about get into God's presence, crave God more, how do you do that? Well, once I began to learn to do it and experienced it, then it got to the place where you couldn't get enough. You wanted more, you know. Today, my greatest joy in my life is being in the presence of God, studying His Word. Man, I can get so lost to everything else when I'm studying the Word. Sometimes even when I'm preparing to preach, I get in the Word and I start seeing revelations and I'm thinking, oh, wait, how does that relate to this? And how does that, oh, wow, that's what this means over here. And the next thing you know, man, you've almost lost track of all time and, you're thinking, man, I got to get ready and go. And you're just about to explode on the inside. Mm-hmm. And you think, I can hardly wait until I can do this again.
Yeah.
You know, and the more you're in the presence of God, then the more of His presence you will crave.
Yeah.
The more you experience God, then the more you want to be with God.
Mm-hmm.
But those are decisions. They don't just happen. You know, you don't just go through life and you get depressed and then just God shows up and just kind of kicks you in the seat of the pants and say, okay, let's get in my presence and crave me more. That's a decision that you have to make.
Yeah.
But if you make it, then God will meet you. He will join with you in it.
Yes, He will.
Amen.
Amen. And Jesus said this. He said, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness,
that's right,
I'll fill you with righteousness.
I like to say it this way. Jesus will fill you in direct proportion to your hunger.
That's true. I was spending some time with some young people not too long ago and teaching them some of these same things and said, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, He'll fill you with that. But if your family's getting together and everybody says, okay, let's go out to eat, and you say, oh, I'm not hungry, why is that? It's because you are already full.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're not hungry for God, it's because we're full of something else.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And I think that helps me. That helps me locate where I'm at. And if I'm not hungry for the presence of God, if I'm not hungry like I know I have been or could be for the Word of God, that's a red flag for me to check out what I've been filling myself with.
Right.
And it may be time to just get rid of some of that and begin to develop hunger again.
Yeah,
in the Word.
That's right.
Yeah,
and throughout the Bible, particularly in the Psalms, there are so many wonderful Psalms where David talks about his hunger. You know, he craves God. He hungers for God. He seeks God. He says, "My whole heart, my soul, my body, my strength, everything. I'm hungry for God."
Yeah,
he had experienced the presence of God, and he realized that when he was down and depressed and had situation in his life that was trying to prove to him that God was nowhere to be found, he remembered what it was like to be in the presence of God, and he made himself do whatever was necessary to get back in His presence.
Yeah.
And I think that's where so many of God's people are missing it. They want God to make it all happen when God is saying, you take the first step and I'll join you there.
Yeah. Now, we've got five more of these to go.
That's right.
And we'll have to pick up on tomorrow's broadcast and
okay.
do that. We're out of time right now. But don't go anywhere. Stick around. Brother Jerry and I will be back in just a moment.
Times are tough. Circumstances are difficult. Maybe you're discouraged. Perhaps you're facing impossible situations. Right now, you might be feeling like there's no hope. But no matter what you're facing, God sees you as a winner. He has determined a way to help you break through and live victoriously.
When the pressure increases, that simply means you got the devil right where you want him. I mean, you got him by the jugular vein now. If you can just stand your ground a little longer, then your breakthrough will come.
Jerry Savelle's new book, Called to Battle, Destined to Win, includes 40 years of sermons and personal experiences that will encourage and inspire you. His insights in the Word will teach you how to succeed and give you a winning strategy to face your everyday challenges. Start building up your faith and walking in victory with Jerry Savelle's book, Called to Battle, Destined to Win. Order your copy of Jerry Savelle's new book, Called to Battle, Destined to Win. Log on to our website at kcm.org and order online. This encouraging and insightful compilation of Dr. Savelle's most popular sermons is now available for only $14. To request your copy by phone, call 800-575-4455. Discover the champion in you. Order Called to Battle, Destined to Win today.
Called to battle, destined to win, experience God's breakthrough power in your life. not just my life, not just Brother Jerry's life, your life. You can experience the breakthrough power of God in your life. This book is packed with scripture. It's packed with stories. It's packed with teaching. You are absolutely going to love getting a hold of this and going through it and reading it. I've been going through it as we were preparing for these broadcasts, and there's some great things in here, some great stories. Brother Jerry will introduce you to a man named Oop. Now, if you've never met Oop, you got to get this book so you can meet Oop. All right, so order your book today. Father, we thank you for the powerful things that are in your word. Lord, we praise you for it and give you glory for the things you're doing in our lives and the way you're changing us and transforming us from glory to glory. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Now, next week, my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria, are going to be in Australia for two meetings beginning in Sydney. They're going to conduct the Sydney Victory Campaign May 21st through the 23rd, and then on over to Brisbane for the Victory Campaign there May 28th through the 30th. Now, if you are in that area in Australia, please do what it takes to be a part of these meetings. Get in there and get into the Word of God. Surround yourself with other believers who live like you and believe like you and talk like you and praise like you. Man, these 3 days and nights are going to change your life. If you can't be a part of these meetings, then log on to kcm.org. There's going to be more information there. You can watch these meetings live online. We'll stream them to you. We want to offer this week, The Winning Attitude. This is a mini book by my grandfather, Kenneth Copeland. And this is a teaching that goes right along with what we've been discussing in these broadcasts. Now, if you're the kind of person that says, I start a book and never get it finished, you can finish this book, okay? This one will take you all of about maybe 30 minutes. And you know what? Start it, finish it, and read it over and over. This is a great way to start your day. This is a great way to end your day. It's a great way to spend your lunch. I mean, these kinds of things, we want to get them into your hand. And this is a seed to you this week. So if you want this, just contact us. We want to get this into your life. You can request yours today, and we'll get it out to you right away. Thank you so much for joining us on these broadcasts. We've had a wonderful time. I hope you're enjoying them, and I hope you'll be back again with us tomorrow as Brother Jerry and I get into these things to continue to discuss how to go through this battle and get through to victory. Amen?
Amen.
This is Jeremy Pearsons and Jerry Savelle reminding you that God loves you, and we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Thanks for watching The Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website or call or write to us today. Remember to request your copy of The Winning Attitude, a book by Kenneth Copeland. It's our gift to you. Available today at kcm.org or by calling our special toll-free number, 888-326-0011. If you prefer to write, the address is Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. One book per household, please. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland in 2009. Come to the Sydney Victory Campaign from the 21st to 23rd of May at the Sydney Entertainment Center, 35 Harbour Street, Haymarket, Sydney, New South Wales. Come to the Brisbane Victory Campaign from the 28th to 30th of May at the Brisbane Convention and Exhibition Center at the corner of Merivale and Glen Elk Street, South Bank, Brisbane, Queensland. To find out more, visit kcm.org or call 800-600-7395.